all of those are allowed. I for a moment thought that the meeting is a long process. We have a very important issue, members, CDG, that we are to deal with. It talks to our own service delivery. It talks to our own vision. It talks to our own obligations to international cities. And all of those have to be aligned. We do sign a number of these agreements and treaties, either bilateral or at multilateral. We also do commit ourselves to our own visions, in this instance our own national development plan. We have our annual target that we set ourselves. But most importantly is what Mam Paula is referring to. At the end of the day, abantu bayizwe le nto sikhuluma ngayo ukuthi iyenzeka empeleni. So that singaloko sikhuluma isiNgisi esingapheli. Ekugcineni sizwe abantu bakithi bethi njengoko kusenzeka kwezinye indawo. Also being able to reach out to a number of other places where it has not been felt, so to speak, where the changes we are about have not as yet been effected or acted upon. Now that's what we are about. We are about, in a nutshell, we are about changing our lives, our people's lives for the better. Whether that is going to happen here in South Africa, tele, or in Africa, or in the world, enjoy. So that's what brings us together here, John. Joy has to leave because she has to respond to something else in the office of the minister. The minister has apologized that she won't make it. The DG as well. She has a SCOPA program to attend to, and then Advocate Anil Singh shall lead the delegation. And then Mrs. Kekana cannot make it due to doctor's appointment. And Mr. Mbuni has indicated that he will come and join us later. Those are a few apologies that we have. Maybe we need to maybe we need to take a discussion ourselves so that we are clear going forward as to when do we expect the executive to be among ourselves. maybe we need to engage in such a discussion. so that we are clear ourselves in our own minds as to when do you really expect the executive to be among ourselves, among Valentine. There are expectations on a number of ourselves. To an extent, those expectations, whether they are real or not, that's a detail. Now, this is like Mama Kaula and Babu Basson. It's like the discussion. You know, I was listening to this discussion quite with a serious interest. You know, the president has only come once this year in Parliament, and yet the Parliament has only started in June, and the president has been in Parliament before June, within this year. I was listening to that debate, you know, with such keen interest. I know for a fact that he has been to Parliament twice in the previous Parliament, but this time he's only been once. And I'm saying, you know, there's nobody who's coming out to clarify that point. Because the term of previous Parliament has just started in June. July, August is the first term. And there's probably this time around, November or so, before we go on recess, that you would have been expecting. Without being subjective, just being objective about some of these issues. Now, I was saying to myself, you know, to an extent, you're going to have those expectations on the executive, whether they are real or not. We need to take that discussion among ourselves. Whether you are to hear expect the executive when it comes to time for annual reports or strategic plans being presented or quarterly reviews, or the could be some specific area of interest. Now, those are the kinds of issues we might use. I really try to play a very open card game. I'm aware this is not a game. We're dealing here with serious issues of life and death. People have died for us to be here. It was not easy. It did not come by silver platter that we are here. Whether we take that discussion now or we take that discussion later, before us members, are the issues before us that talk to a briefing by the department on its performance monitoring evaluation system, and also on the MDGs and NDP. I did say that Mr. Mgoni shall come, but a bit later. He has honored that promise. You are not late, Mr. Mgoni. You had apologized. Welcome. Members, in the absence of anybody coming up for now, I take it that we shall then in future take that discussion. Let's allow Mr. Singh to take us through. I don't know if there are any new people within your team you might wish to introduce.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, colleagues. It's our privilege to present to the committee this morning. I'm just going to do a round of introductions of our team. Myself, I'm Anil Singh. I'm the DDG for Regulation, Compliance and Authorizations. I'm leading the delegation here today in the absence of our DG and other colleagues who are at the SCOPA hearing. On my left,
I am Deborah Mochotri. I am the DG for Water Planning and Information Management. I'm Baba Lamanyakanyaka from Corporate Planning and Organizational Performance.
Chair, morning members, honorable members. My name is Dr. Tele Moema. I'm the Special Advisor to the Minister.
Thank you, Chair. This topic that we are asked to present today is a very important topic, and what the Chair has referred to on many occasions is what is the central driving impetus for this presentation. When the Chair talks eloquently about whatever we do, whatever activities we engage in, we can only say we have done something if it makes an improvement in the quality of lives of our people, and that this tangible improvement must be measured. So when government embarked on the outcomes-based approach towards its performance, the main focus of the outcomes-based approach was to have a coordination, to coordinate the efforts of the various departments. We often hear of the entities, government departments, working in silos where they don't talk to each other. So the purpose of the outcomes-based approach is to put these outcomes as the deliverables for our targets for our country, and then measure them, and monitor and evaluate them, and to what extent that we are meeting. We are dealing with them. So today we're going to give you a progress report, and it's quite a lot of information, Honorable Chair and members. I do apologize that the slides amount to 100 or so, but we're not going to necessarily deal with every single slide. We're going to talk high level, and we're going to focus on the main aspect being the alignment issues. So I'm going to do the overall presentation, and my colleague Deborah is going to assist in doing the outcome 10, and then my colleagues and I will be happy to take questions. Chair, we are joined by two young ladies from our department, our ministry. I'll just introduce them while they're sitting down.
She told me that I said that she would do that.
Here we are joined by Shoki Moloto, who is our... and by Sis Brenda, who is the media liaison officer of the minister. And hopefully there's no damage caused because of the... We apologize. So the presentation will cover the outcome 6, outcome 7, outcome 9, outcome 10, outcome 11 and 12, which I will talk to. And now the National Development Plan is the blueprint for how the government intends to administer this country. And the National Development Plan is linked to the Vision 2030. And out of the medium-term expenditure, a medium-term strategic framework is all these various outcomes. Now, outcome 6 is about efficient, competitive, responsive economic infrastructure. My colleague Zandile Martin, who is not here today, she is leading our infrastructure or in construction. And I think the important aspect of having a strong network of economic infrastructure is to support the country's growth and socio-economic growth. The infrastructure is a precondition for basic services. We often hear about aging infrastructure that needs to be refurbished, and if we have world-class infrastructure, then that is the basis for driving service delivery in water, sanitation, electricity. Now, outcome 7 is where we are told that we should be able to have vibrant, equitable, sustainable rural communities contributing to food security. And in that aspect, the Department of Water plays a critical role in terms of support to agriculture for food security, basic services, healthcare. Now, this vision is about the land reform, communal land tenure, all of those aspects. The committee, there was a joint sitting of this committee together with Rural Development Committee in a workshop where we canvassed all these issues. These are very burning issues, very critical issues for us to be able to deal with. Then in terms of outcome 9, it's a responsive, accountable, effective, efficient local government system. As you know, Chairperson and members, local government is the arm of government that is closest to the people and is at the forefront or the coalface of service delivery. So we're working there with supporting municipalities, local government in terms of the various water and sanitation solutions that we have. And outcome 10 is to the protection of our environment, our assets, and our natural resources. And this is now linked up to environmental sustainability, climate change, how we deal with carbon emissions, and basically protecting our society. All of this, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is that in outcome 11, we talk about creating a better South Africa, a better Africa, and a better continent or a better world. So the Chairperson brought the linkage of how the country has its own goals and own priorities, but they are also sometimes driven by multilateral treaties, bilateral treaties. The United Nations is basically leading in terms of the multilateral agenda. And in outcome 12 is where we are told that we must be an efficient, effective, and development-orientated public service. Now, how all of this comes together is basically in terms of this outcomes approach. So we'll go through the various outcomes and the various aspects that inform these outcomes, and you will see. And this today, Chairperson and honorable members, is a progress report. So we will tell you how far we've gone, what areas we have done well in, what areas we still need to improve. And it's a lot of technical information, but we'll try to go through it as quickly as possible. Outcome 6, this lead department is public enterprises, and I think the newly, well, not so new now, the Department of Infrastructure Development is also a critical department in leading the coordination of all the infrastructure projects, capital projects that we have.
Maybe just I'm to be advised by the members. Let's rather talk to the documents rather than going through it. Otherwise, I was just looking at the slides. You have about 87? No. 106. 106 slides easily can take you 2 hours.
Yeah. Well,
and how much time are we going to give? At most, 30 minutes? We have the document to ourselves.
I like the problem with
30 minutes at the most. Now, from one, my watch here, it's almost 10:30. If we can go up until 11 o'clock. Thank you.
Okay. So,
outcome 6 is dealing with infrastructure, and infrastructure is a critical component, as I indicated. The department that's leading is public enterprises, infrastructure. Our department contributes towards the various the reports that have to be produced in terms of this, and there's the quarterly reports that we have. Now, the contribution to the outcome 6 is basically how we deal with our bulk water resource infrastructure. So I'm going to talk very quickly through it and not necessarily, and I'll skip through the slides, okay? So an example of this project is a development of the Waterberg in Limpopo. As we know, that Limpopo has been targeted for investment, economic development, infrastructure development, and then we have the SIP 18, which deals with the water and sanitation infrastructure. Now, there's a plan to deal with the backlog, and the plan is to supply 1.4 million households and 2.1 million households basic sanitation. Then the various outcomes and the various outputs, it's essentially bulk infrastructure, it's institutional arrangements for water management. We did have an idea that we should have a water resource infrastructure agency, but have since been given political direction that the agency is not necessarily going to materialize. So one of the big projects that we are dealing with in infrastructure is the Umzimvubu River, the dam that we are building in that area. And that is one of the major infrastructure projects. It's the Presidential Infrastructure Committee Coordinating Council project. Then apart from that is for us to establish the institutional arrangements to support the management of our water resource. In the institutional arrangements, we are looking towards having regional water utilities to support municipalities. The department has been dealing with water allocation reform in a progressive way so that we can make more water available for communities. The norms and standards that we as a lead department provide is also critical for the municipalities to comply with. So the whole program is to look at how we can be able to look at where we have water scarcity, water reuse, and we look at desalination projects. So, Chairperson, you will see throughout this the theme on infrastructure, there are various projects, the targets were set, and the targets, the department has made that progress with regard to the targets. Then in dealing with the local government support and agriculture, I've spoken about that agriculture consumes a lot of water, and we need to support the agricultural sector. We've given some examples of the irrigation schemes that we had. At the last portfolio committee meeting, we did the DG made a commitment that we were going to come back to present or give a report to this committee as to how we are transforming the irrigation boards into water user associations. So we will be coming back to do that. Then there's a new technology around water reuse and where we have to commission desalination, the seawater. That's a very critical aspect that we have to deal with. Now, the National Development Plan in Chapter 4 talks about these five outcomes. It's the regulation, funding, and investment, the transmission of energy linked up with electricity, biofuels, gas, etc., and we now see fracking as a future opportunity, hydraulic fracturing as a future opportunity for reducing the energy deficit in South Africa. And we have to look at progressive strategic expansion of our infrastructure, and this is water is central in all of this. The bulk water resource infrastructure, I talked about the dams and the interbasin transfers, and then we have to look at how we can use IT and communication to the latest technology to be able to capture this information to monitor and evaluate our progress. And outcome 7 is rural development, is the coordinator for outcome 7. And outcome 7 is essentially about having vibrant, equitable rural communities. The approach there is that the department follows a similar reporting framework. And we report to an interdepartmental task team. There's the MINTEC, which is the meeting of the DGs, the accounting officers, and the what they call the technocrats or technical people. And the MINMEC is the meeting of the ministers and the MECs. That's the political, sort of political steering committee of that. So some of the programs there is financial assistance to resource poor farmers, raising water harvesting, water allocation reform to disadvantaged farmers, and access to water through the grant, the regional bulk infrastructure grant. So all of these slides basically show our progress and how far we have gone towards that, and it gives examples of the rainwater tanks that we've harvested, what are the targets, the projections, etc. Now, the NDP also speaks about land, and that land should be the irrigation should be expanded by at least 500,000 hectares by 2030. And basically that is linked up with food security and good nutrition. There has been progress in water allocation reform, and we are allocating more water to historically disadvantaged resource poor farmers. I'm not sure whether that's the correct terminology, but that's what is actually being used at the moment. And then licensing. We will come to present to the Committee on Licensing the progress that we've made with the new business process, the reforms that we're bringing, but the effect of the licensing regime is to make more water available. Incrementally make more water available to previously disadvantaged, to new communities, new human settlements, and this is where we are dealing. Then the grant system, the committee has been briefed about the grant system, that the grant system that we have, the various grants are being reviewed in conjunction with COCTA. We find that the money has to be ring-fenced. When we give a grant and the municipality doesn't use that money, then it becomes a problem for us. But in this slide, we show the progress that we've made. And you can see Northern Cape features prominently here in terms of these support in terms of the RPIC. Outcome 9, Jefferson, is basically a responsible, accountable, effective and efficient local government. And I did say the lead department is COCTA, the Department of Cooperative Governance, and we are working very closely with COCTA. If you will remember, a while back, not too long ago, the President convened a local government summit on the Back to Basics approach. And the Back to Basics approach is to look at fixing the municipalities, assisting them and supporting them in areas where they are challenged in terms of water and sanitation service delivery. So these slides show the various progress that we've had and the tools that we use in terms of the actions that we deal with COCTA. We are having much, much improved bilaterals with COCTA in some of the areas where the municipalities are under administration in the Northwest, etc. COCTA appoints the administrators, and the department is working with the administrators to bring around a turnaround solution for like Malipeng, Nakamodire, those municipalities, and I speak just about the Northwest. So the approach that we have now, some of these slides show the water supply service target, and the challenge is 90% reliable services by 2019. And then these show progressively how we are trying to attain those targets. I don't know why this is now doing this. So one of the big challenges that we have, Chairperson and members, is water supply, water interruptions. And these are what we are dealing with in terms of supporting the municipality, either through funding or through expertise or through assisting them with the refurbishment of the aging infrastructure. These slides just show how we have made the progress over the years in terms of I think we can do much better, and the main focus is that the intergovernmental relations, that how we cooperate with COCTA and other departments like human settlements, is there. This is the multi-action solution which I spoke about, and I've covered the issues there. I'm going to move on now to deal with just quickly. There is what is called a vulnerability index ranking as a sign of self-assessment of the municipalities, and this shows to what extent the municipalities regard themselves as lacking in capacity, and to that extent they are vulnerable. So this slide shows that the 46% it's a high vulnerability. Then this slide just show you some of the areas basically country over helicopter view of these self-assessments and where we are having challenges and how we can look to improve them. Then, now we deal with the MDGs. Chairperson and honorable members, you know basically what informed the Millennium Development Goals, how the countries went about signing this, etc., the target dates is there in the slide, and then we're dealing with what the 8 goals were. Poverty eradication, education, etc. Now, you'll see there's no specific goal for water. But because when we look at water as being the catalyst for development and water being central to development, sustainable development, we see water features in every one of them in an indirect manner. And then this is the target. So as I said, there was no specific water goal, but the access to water services is reflected under Goal 7, Target 7C, which is to halve the population of people without sustainable access to safe drinking water, and then to halve the population of people without access to basic and acceptable sanitation. And as you know, we have just now acquired sanitation as a function. So we've been focusing primarily on water. So these, the department's programs, policies, legislation, all geared towards supporting the attainment of these goals. So now the MDG is coming to an end. And that's why we have to now look at how do we go forward. So the MDG closes in 2015. There will be a report being produced, and the report will be presented at the UN, or countrywide report. And then from the MDG, we go to the Sustainable Development Goals. So what was not complete, or what was incomplete in the MDG, will now be carried forward into the SDG. And then that's the post 2025 agenda, and what is the implications of that. So the department is leading that, but we have to work with the other departments, and the NDP is the main policy document that informs these things. So our drive is based on the fact that we have sustainable development, poverty eradication, but what is good for South Africa is that we have a constitutional right to water, access to water. We don't have a constitutional right to access to sanitation, but we have worked towards making sanitation available, and we have presented the sanitation program previously. So our response has been that we will look at 2015, 96% access to water supply infrastructure. And that is where we are going towards. So along the way, we will have to pick up on the rest of Africa, what we can benchmark against, how we can be able to improve, but the standards that we have progressively working towards this. So we have a lot of lessons that we've learned from the MDG that we'll carry over into the SDG experience. So the post-2015 agenda is an outcome of the Rio Plus 20 conference on sustainable development, and there it was decided to develop a 2015 global agenda. So this is basically what I talked about in terms of the unfinished business and how we carry over into the SDGs. So we are contributing, the lead department there is Department of International Relations and Cooperation with the macro development team, working groups, etc. There's various conferences. There was a conference in Budapest, and then our minister is South Africa is a member of the African Ministers Council on Water. So these are the bodies or the entities that will facilitate the post 2015 agenda. A dedicated water goal is what the target is, and meaningful goals to be able to address our water shortages. Now, the WWC, I do apologize, we did say we're going to not use acronyms. The WWC is the World Water Council, and they have the conference where papers are presented, etc., which deals with water shortages, water scarcity, etc., and how we're going to be able to deal with it. So the four specific areas is reliable and sustainable water services, water resource management, placing water at the center of development, and ensuring effective integrated water management. These are essentially the goals that we put there, and the general implications of these goals. I'm going to now stop now in terms of this, and then hand over to my colleague Debra, who will take us through the outcome 10 presentation. Thank you, Jeff.
She has 10 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. Outcome 10 is coordinated by the Department of Environment, the Department of Water and Sanitation Group, Working Group 5 under that one. We are coordinating there with the Provincial Department of Environment and the Metro. My presentation is going to be in alignment to the National Development Plan, indicate what sub-outcome 1, MTSF, and annual targets are, the performance progress against sub-outcome 1, the sub-outcome 2, MTSF, and the annual targets, performance progress against sub-outcome 2, and the related SDGs. The NDP output priorities, as you can see there, is that it acknowledges the transition to an environmentally sustainable future. You are aware that we subscribe to the notion of sustainable development. So we want to decouple natural resources degradation and depletion from economic growth. This is how now the sub-outcomes are broken into activities and indicators. We want to, or we are, implementing strategies for water conservation and demand management. I just want to indicate to the Honourable, or remind the Honourable here, that most of our reconciliation strategies is where we determine the demand versus what is available. And that indicates we're either a deficit or a surplus, or that we are just breaking even. Now, the interventions, in all of the reconciliation strategies, the intervention, one of the interventions, major one, is water conservation and water demand management. We have water resources protection there, which links very much to what we normally refer to as water quality. We have the classification of water resources there, the number of sites of river health program implemented. The third outcome one is that ecosystems are sustained and natural resources are used efficiently, which relates back to what I've already indicated on decoupling economic development with environmental degradation and exploitation. Implementation of environmental regulations to mitigate negative environmental impact in exploitation of strategic mineral resources. There are the indicators there. This indicates the progress that we've made on the indicators on sub-outcome 1. Let me explain this. We are currently engaging the metros and local government and SAGA on this indicator. We place this indicator as though we are the ones that are implementing. Yet what we do is to facilitate and to support and to coordinate this particular indicator. Because what really has happened there is that the metros, the large water supply systems, are the ones that are supposed to be putting and implementing measures. And so it is a bit of a problem that the way we put it here, but because I think it is because of the importance of this, and because I've already indicated that in the interventions that come from the reconciliation strategy, this comes out top. I will not talk about licensing because Anil has already mentioned. The next outcome is the next indicator is the number of water resources classified. I've already mentioned most of these. I'm moving on this one as well. Sub outcome 2, an effective climate change mitigation and adaptation response. There we're talking about the development and implementation of sector adaptation strategy and reducing vulnerability and risk associated with climate change. Our adaptation strategies indicate to us, or the development or the adaptation strategy indicates that we are to take measures that will assist us to adapt to climate change, either the drought or floods, for example, over is negative, increasing the utilization of groundwater. I've already spoken to the adaptation strategy. The strategy is being consulted yesterday, and today there's a climate change conference on which the strategy is being consulted, and we believe that it will receive approval. It will be finalized by March 2015, we are hoping. And currently we are implementing climate change mitigation measures. I am not going to go into the related SDGs, because they have already been mentioned to you. Just to mention that there are the related SDGs, Goal 6, 1, 3, and 4. They are related to the environment and to the in relation to water. I think I'll pause here.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister. The chairperson, that brings us to the end of this presentation. We do realize that there's a lot of information given in the slides, and we need probably members never had an opportunity to fully engage with that information. So we will be happy to take any questions, comments, now, and then my colleagues and I will do our best to answer, respond to the questions. Thank you, Chair.
You'll be so shocked, Mr. Singh, to learn that this member agreed. And they do set aside time, and enough time for that matter, to read. Members, those are a few submissions on the issues at hand, thereby allowing us to engage with the report. As I mentioned in my introductory remarks, here you're dealing with issues at the end that talk to our people out there, having to say, yes, we can feel that there is change in our lives. Whichever way you put it, one old man, I don't know whether I've mentioned this before, on Robben Island, his name is Edgar Ngoyi. When listening to anybody talking, you know, big English and big concepts, big acronyms, he would ask that person, he used to call anybody, you know, soldier. You know, soldier, how will that advance the revolution of the working class? And similarly, whatever we say here at the end of the day must answer that question as to how we do advance the revolution of the working class and the poor in our country.
hamba kahle masimamkhawula leso sina yiloko bayibeka ngesintu bathi ushintsho empilweni zabantu abahluphekile nabasebenzi. I can open up members. I have a very keen interest, Mr. Singh, on Mzimbu Dam. I hear you saying there is a process in motion and it's well in advance. I'm very keen, perhaps in a paragraph, let's know exactly where is that process. I'll tell you why I'm asking that question. I'm asking this question not for the first time, not for the second time. Last time, the acting DG at the time was responding to all sorts of questions raised by members. And then I had to remind him that this question has not been responded to. And again, even then, the response really didn't take, let me speak for myself, didn't take me any way forward. I'm still very keen on that, especially now that you have mentioned it forms part of your outcome four. Members, that's the briefing session that we've just received. And I'm also keen on water license processes. I see projected here is 80% by 2019. Thus far, you have covered only 35%. I would have been quite keen. I'm quite conscious of the fact that at the tail end, we are dealing here with the Millennium Development Goals. We are dealing here with the National Development Plan. And also, we are dealing here with aligning all of those with our midterm strategic framework. That has to be taken backwards on an annual basis, government basis. Now, the 80% and 35%, I'm very keen on, and perhaps it might require us to really have a special session, as far as I'm concerned, on the water licenses. As to what are the criteria that are being applied, you do hear out there that there are other processes that move faster, there are other processes that move very, very slow. I've heard a few people talking to me from Western Cape here, where such is expressed. A few that really take almost 2 years, whilst you would have heard, you know, some that have taken so faster. I'm now drawing, almost zooming into the issues. But at the essence of it all, it is that criteria that gets used as to for one to talk here of a water license. And then I'm keen on the finalization of your climate change measures as they pertain to water. Again, you see, members, my main gripe here is that as members of parliament, at the end of the day, we are to be expected to rubber stamp. I'm using that word guardedly. Whatever the department or the government shall be negotiating out there, finally it comes back here for us to really begin to say we give it a go ahead. When we are not informed, currently talking about climate change measures, yes, it did come through. I guess also, members, we did not give ourselves enough time to really get into the grips of those issues. To understand if I was to ask any of our members here as to what those measures are, I can assure you, Madam Shogu, that you'll get a zero response. To an extent, you have a government department that moves far ahead of all of us. But when that comes back here, it shall require a stamp from these members for us to take that through to the National Assembly, for Parliament at the end to say, yes, our country has indeed endorsed. If you understand where I'm coming from. Members, the floor is open. Mr. Makonda, let me take it that way. Mr. Basson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson.
Mrs. Becker and Mr. Mguni. Never ever miss
it. I thought you were. Thanks, Chair.
Well, we welcome the presentation. But let me join you, Chair, in requesting the information that we required that the department should provide in the two previous meetings. The one that I recall is related to the meeting that we had when the department was presenting its annual performance plan. Okay, yeah. The BRRR, yes. Thanks for that. We requested that the department should give us information in relation to the profile of the foreigners that have been appointed by the department. In that information, we requested profiles that contains age, their gender, their qualification and where they are stationed in the department. But in dealing with the current presentation, Chair, we understand that South Africa has moved far ahead in terms of the MDGs. But however, we want to raise some few issues, not necessarily in relation to the MDG, but having moved far, to us, if these issues that we are going to raise are not attended to, will be meaningless. DDG, in your outcome 6, you were supposed to increase water infrastructure from 59% to 95%. But there is an issue which relates to the reduction of water losses to an average percentage reduction. And sitting where we are in the country, you have got a higher percentage of dilapidated infrastructure, which as a result, you're having these things of water losses. You might be having that 95% of water infrastructure, but if this infrastructure is dilapidated, to us it's meaningless. The issue of, we want you to talk to the issue of the increase of groundwater use in detail, that increase. We want you to talk to that, but also the issue of
desalination, you just highlighted it, it is not even dealt with in detail. You have raised the issue of hydraulic fracking. Currently we are sitting with a very serious challenge of exit mine drainage. Has been a study conducted in relation to that. We're in a situation we don't find ourselves where groundwater is affected by this fracking. Has been a study conducted to assist the team that is working on, so that you don't deal with mine drainage, exit mine drainage, and thereafter you deal with systems. The other issue is related to, in the report that, in 2013, the country's report of South Africa, there was, with regard to the proportion of total water resource use, there was no data provided or target defined by the department in relation to that. We want to understand why there was no data provided in relation to that. We just hope after they have responded we'll be able to get the second round. Thanks.
Chairperson, I want to raise the same concern as you've got. In August, I asked a written question to the department concerning the water licenses. But what is a concern for me is the answer that I got. In 2014, they have only approved 36 licenses in this year so far. And there is in progress 111 of these water licenses is in progress. But the backlog is 1,297. So if they only approved so far this year, well, that was still in, they answered me in September. If they've only approved 36 licenses for this financial year, 36, how many years are they going to take to get the backlog of 1,297 behind their back? I'll ask a follow-on question just to see what is the progress in the last 2 months, which we will see when we get it. And then they've declined another 1,605 of these applications due to a lack of information. But those that is fine, all the documentation is in progress, there's a backlog of 1,297, which of those are 111 for this month. And then in the follow-on question we asked the minister, how many of the mines don't have licenses? And the department answered me it's 103, and then the minister came out with a statement to say, no, it's 104. There's 104 licenses outstanding, and the minister gave an undertaking in a press release that licenses will be finalized by the end of October. That's past, this past October, which I believe she has not met. My question is, do you need help? And the process, I'm on the same track as the chairperson is. I don't understand the process. And we need to be taken, even if it's a workshop, we need to be taken through the process, because maybe we are harsh on you on the figures, but we don't know what the process contains. What is the process since you get an application? Do you go and do a site inspection? All those kind of stuff. Do you have a lack of personnel in that department? So for us to take it forward, I think we need to understand what is your challenges, and what is your process so that it makes it easier for us? Because figures doesn't count up, only 36 licenses being approved. Why? Is it because the process is too long? Is it because you have a personnel? Or whatever other reason it may be.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To introduce myself to you, as you went, I was present at the last portfolio committee meeting that you went present at. I am the alternate member with the DA. But I'll be joining regularly. Okay. Also, around the licenses, if I look at the backlog and the target that we set, it's a bit concerning to note that the target is 120, and if our backlog is 1,200, that's only really 10%. Is that target really realistic for us to deal, realistic as in addressing the problem? Could be realistic for us to achieve, as that's what we have the capacity for, but is it realistic for us to achieve to get rid of the backlog, basically, to just put it very bluntly. And in with regards to the mines that are non-compliant, what are the legal repercussions? Is there some kind of perhaps a discussion we need to have with safety and security that we can prosecuting these mines? Is there some way that we can expedite some kind of process to enforce compliance with the regulations by these mines? Perhaps we can have an I'm not sure if there is such a process already in place, or if there isn't, could we not perhaps instigate that? And then also with regards to the reliability challenges, if I look at the slide which shows the provinces with the greatest reliability challenges, Limpopo and Mpumalanga are topping the list there with 62% and 63% respectively. That's a very, very high percentage for unreliability. And yet when I look at the regional bulk infrastructure programs, those two provinces are actually not well taken care of there. Now, to me, there's a direct correlation between unreliability and the provision of infrastructure. Should we not re-look at that? I would suggest we re-look at that and see what are we doing about the infrastructure in those provinces, bearing in mind that they are very rural provinces. Or perhaps there's other means, the rain harvesting tank projects or some other really creative means that we need to come up with to assist those provinces in increasing their reliability. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, honorable members, including the chair and officials. Sitting here, I can deduce that everyone is thinking about the issuing of licenses. That is the major criticism the department is getting from all of us, including myself, which if we look this delay will affect the economic activity, including the new farmers that are emerging today. How is the department prepared? How is it intending to solve this challenge as quickly as possible? If there are hiccups, if the process, as the Honorable Person has alluded to, is too long, what is it in place? Let them come up and tell us. Okay. And the presentation, Chairperson, is speaking about points indicated in the National Development Plan. How prepared as a department are we to secure this theme? the teams in the NDP. Remember, we have to secure this thing in tightening up the issue of accountability. How do we hold leaders in all spheres of government accountable? How do we hold those when the public out there is crying, everyone will be pointing a hand at somebody. How do we hold everyone accountable within all spheres of government in terms of the issues, more especially water in the department? Thank you very much.
For now.
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members, for the questions. To begin with the Chair's question on the Mzimvubu Dam, the slide indicates to prioritize a new dam. Now, we cannot say that we have made significant progress. I'm not the correct person to speak about it because I don't head the infrastructure branch. My proposal would be that we prepare and present and send you a written answer on the actual progress. I think it is a critical dam. It has been the priority of government, but if I speak and give the details of what stage, I'm saying that I was going to hand over to Minister's advisor to elaborate, but the point being is that we do need to give you a proper answer, and I'm not the head of the infrastructure branch, so I'll hand over to Dr. Moema to give a response on the Mzimvubu Dam.
Thank you, Chair. Just in short, the discussion and finalization of the progress on the Mzimvubu was discussed last week during the summit, the gender summit. In it, the premier of Eastern Cape was involved, and the government of the province. And to cut to the chase, the premier has been appointed as the champion, because the project is happening within the province. And the two DGs, the DG of the province and the DG of water and sanitation, as technical heads of the project. And essentially, it has been taken away out of the normal processes of the DPG for infrastructure as a high profile a project. Probably that is detail which may not be of interest, but already the project needs to go ahead to the extent to which the PMO project management unit has to be set. But there's got to be a preponderance of involvement of the local companies and local people in terms of social mobilization involvement, both at the level of procurement, at the level of construction, and therefore now through the DG and the two DGs who are meeting on Friday is to set up a project plan so that the project itself has to find traction. But members, probably you know that when we say Mzimvubu, it's not a dam per se. Mzimvubu is a project, and in it there are two dams, Laleni and Kabelang, and of which the beginning will be the first dam, which is Kabelang, and downstream will be the Laleni, where it's being discussed whether you're going to have hydro and what takeoff will you get from the province. So there needs to be a social assessment of the affordability of the hydro site of the dam, but as a start, the Mzabelanga dam has to start, and it is intended that as early as the beginning of the first quarter in 2015, there's got to be something on the ground. But it's being led by the two DGs, the DG of Water and Sanitation and the DG of the province.
Thank you, Dr. Chairperson. I'm going to hand to my colleague, Ms. Mochosi, to deal with the climate change measures. The chairperson's question. Thank you.
On the issue of climate change, Chair, you've already indicated, and thank you for remembering that the date come and appraise you on the developments on climate change as far as water is concerned. If the feeling is that we bring the strategy that is being consulted upon at the moment before finalization in 2050, I would say perhaps that's just a good idea thing to do. But just to give some heads up on what is there on the adaptation, we are looking at redesigning of dams, particularly the spillways, so that we reduce siltation of the dams, because siltation reduces the storage capacity of the dams. And that is particularly important when we would be receiving extreme rainfall or floods. We looking at what you called groundwater recharge, that is storing excess water in underground so that we use during drought. We are looking at desalination. Everything, as you know, has got its own positives and negatives. So we are looking at that. But what I need to point out outrightly is that it's the cost associated with desalination, and that in other instances, it is simply not feasible. It depends on which the distance and the topography of where you want to take the water to. I think maybe, let me, these are just heads up that I'm giving here, but central to sustainable, efficient, equitable water management as the principles of the National Water Act, we do need as a country, all of us, to engage or to participate in water conservation and water management. As I have indicated, that it is key. It's one of the key things. It appears in all of the reconciliation strategies that we have done as a major intervention measure. May I move from that to dealing with the issue of infrastructure related to water losses? Yes, it is true that our aging, dilapidated infrastructure will result in water losses. But I also need to remind that the infrastructure, that we've got various ownership. We've got those that are of the department and those that are in local government. But the effects and the impacts are the same. And that is why the infrastructure program, and that is why we have all the grants that were mentioned by Anil earlier, the RBIC, the ASAP, and all those. Those are intervention grants for us to be able to deal with the issues. So we're going along that route. I think there's prioritization there. Fracturing, dealing with AMD, and then now we are faced with fracturing. The department prepared itself for the in-case cabinet approved that shale gas continues or goes ahead. We declared that shale gas, in fact, we moved from shale gas. It's an unconventional gas harvesting. All that is declared as a controlled activity. We went to that route because if it's a controlled activity, it allows the department to request for additional information from whoever will be harvesting the gas. That is why we went that route. over and above that, also indicating that we are coordinating and cooperating together as government departments, intergovernmental relations. We made inputs to the regulations that were published by the Department of Minerals, inputs to what may impact on the water. What are we doing currently in as far as studies are concerned to avoid AMD? Over and above these two things that I have mentioned, the WRC and the CSIR are continuing with their studies that are doing there. But then the company that is that wants to do the shale gas, that wants to extract there, they are also giving information in preparation to cabinet approval for fracturing. I think that I have covered everything except for one thing, Honorable. Your question on data not provided in some report, I didn't hear quite well what the data was about.
Look, Chair, there was a report which South Africa, which was supposed to present it to the United Nations, the MDG, the 2018. Isn't that you were supposed to report the progress? Chair, thank you very much to my colleagues, Dr. Mwama and Ms. Mutoke. Chair, I did say that we want to come to do a special briefing to the committee on license and the processes and challenges and delays that we have, because I want to reiterate that we have we are in a position to come as early as next week or the week whenever when the committee deems prudent. But we take cognizance of all the comments and concerns. We have taken this committee into our confidence to say that in the past we have not done very well with the water license. That's the concession and acknowledgement that we have made. But we are looking at improving the process by refining the business process. We have a new business process. We have new timelines. We do realize the importance of licenses, granting licenses for economic growth. So I think we will couple that with the presentation on the mines that are operating without licenses and what action we are taking. Now, Honorable Mkhondo did allude to these aspects, and the committee did, in fact, allude to that. Now, beginning with, so if the chairperson and the committee will allow us, we will come with a special presentation, and then we'll be able to give all the details of how do we deal with licenses, why do we decline them, why do we approve them, what is the process, what are the gaps or what are the critical challenges that we have in terms of staff capacity. But we will also come and present to you the new regime for mining licenses, the fact that we've worked with the to bring a new law, and we're busy working with finalizing our regulations for public comment on how we're going to deal with mining licenses in general. I think it's very critical because it comes back to many of these meetings that we are asked these questions. And my view, my respectful submission, is that we'll be allowed to come and do a complete, comprehensive, wall-to-wall presentation and take the committee into our confidence and see where the committee can guide and assist us. Because I think we have to acknowledge that we have not done very well, and we are seeking to improve that constantly. Then the question of Honorable Mkhondo, that we have to provide the BPR, the BPRC, or BRRR report, and the information on the amount of foreign workers or foreigners that are employed in the department in terms of age, gender, and quality.
I'm sure that we will be able to have. I can't say for sure that we have given the response, but I think my colleague, we are going to submit it. Yeah, it's on its way back to the committee. Shoki is our young lady who's our policeman, or she reminds us of all the things that are outstanding. And when we make a commitment that we will come back and give a written report, then we take it through the normal process where the minister will write a letter to the chairperson to give the information that we have to do. The questions that Honorable Nkondo raised about the disjuncture between the increase in infrastructure and how the water losses and the fact that the dilapidated infrastructure leads to, in fact, more water losses is something that we take cognizance of. My colleague Deborah has alluded to that in terms of how we're going to deal with that. The issue of using groundwater, I think probably that needs for us to come and talk to the committee about groundwater in terms of the technical process. And we see now more and more the need to use our groundwater resources. But the question that remains is to what extent are we protecting the groundwater resources? And to what extent that our regulatory regimes and tools afford that protection, more in relation to the question of AMD, in question to hydraulic fracturing, unconventional gas. The desalination, my colleague has answered that question. Honorable Nkondo, the 2013 report and why there was no data submitted, I would request that we come back to you in writing with that, because I'm not having that information at my fingertips right now. So I would make, Sophie would make a note of that, that we'd have to actually look at the 2013 report, what was the reason why the data was not supplied, and give that come back to you on that one. So I've dealt with the questions of Honorable Besson to say that we do want to come to present on the water use licenses. Honorable Becker also asked the questions about that and about the eradication of the backlog. And in terms of enforcement, we have got an enforcement team within the department, which is called the Blue Scorpions, in the same way that any environmental affairs have their own enforcement team called the Green Scorpions, and then the Mineral Resources Department has what is called the Brown Scorpions. So the essential challenge here when you're dealing with environmental crimes and water crimes, so those pollution activities that destroy the groundwater reserves or pollute. When you look at the current arrangement, we have a protocol in place with the National Prosecuting Authority that we will lay charges, they will open up a docket, they will investigate the matter and prosecute. But as you know, the National Prosecuting Authority is having its own capacity challenges. So essentially what the challenge is that the National Prosecuting Authority and their prosecutors are dealing with crime. They're dealing with murder. They're dealing with rape. So what we actually are looking for from them is a prioritization of the prosecution of environmental and water crimes. And we have working relationship with them. We belong to forum. We do joint exercises, etc. But the reality is that there isn't a great prioritization of these environmental crimes. The other side of the coin is that even if you do take these people that pollute, mining companies, etc., they would pay a fine. But the fine is really not a huge amount, and that's something that we have to look at. But once we open up the docket, the matter is in the hands of the National Prosecuting Authority, and those matters are sub-judicate. Once the docket is open and the matter is at investigation, there could be people being charged, charge sheets being issued, etc. But as far as the working together goes, we do work together, but my sense is that the main challenge is that the NPA itself lacks the capacity to prioritize. Perhaps the route to go would maybe to have special prosecutors and special courts, but that's some conversation that we have to have with the Department of Justice and see whether that is feasible. Currently, we're not able to say that that is going to materialize. Then, ma'am, regarding the unreliability challenges and the stats that you gave about Limpopo and Mpumalanga and the grants, I think there's a complete rethink and relook at how we are administering the grants for efficiency, for effectiveness, and there's going to be a rationalization of the grant system where they can't be like too many grants and then there's like double dipping and the municipalities then take the money and sometimes they don't actually do the work. So the main issue of these grants is that if we do give them, we ring fence them. But we've also seen now COCTRA is now withholding the grants if the municipalities don't perform in terms of infrastructure refurbishment. So that's something that we will have to look at. Then Honorable Nguni asked again the question of the licenses. I've elaborated the view that we will come back with a detailed presentation. Then the preparedness of how prepared we are to deal with the NDP and tightening up accountability. I agree. Accountability and leadership is what drives a people-centered government, a government that cares, and certainly that accountability and leadership insofar as the officials are concerned, has to be central because the officials are driving the programs of the government. But I think that we have responded to the NDP. We have looked at how the department's programs can be realigned and refocused to deal with the NDP. So I think, Chair, I think in a nutshell, I think we've covered all those questions for this round. Unless I've missed something, I'll be reminded. Thank you. Oh, sorry, do any of my other colleagues want to contribute? I'm not sure. I'll give them an opportunity. Dr. Moore?
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to add on the actual action that's been taken after the report by the DG at the Portfolio Committee on Acid Mine Drainage, in addition to what my colleagues have just said, that next week the Minister has instructed us to organize an indaba to do a number of things. One, to give an evaluation of what Cabinet had decided in 2011 on the establishment of the emergency work on the Western Basin, on the AMB, but also how quickly we move forward on the other basin, the Central Basin and the Eastern Basin. Also to look at the technologies, and as the DG has said last time, to say technology, but what actually works for us, take into account that there are uniqueness of some of the basins. So part of it is a conversation between TCTA, rainwater, and Water Research Commission, CSIR, the department, and every other person or companies that are experts in AMD, so that we do not find ourselves proceeding on the basis what is or what was, whereas there are new technologies around the corner that could have brought new effectiveness and efficiencies in us moving faster with the issues of AMD. So I think the minister will announce it today in the afternoon, and I hope there will be a formal notification from the minister to this committee about that endeavor, which probably would involve the portfolio committee or specific members of the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chair.
Round 2. Round 4.
Ngibonga Sihlalo, imvume yakho ngilingene nemankani ngaphakathi. Owami umbuzo nje ula khona la ospecial u-99 ngifuna ukwazi la ukuthi emalokishini noma kubantu noma kwabanye nje la kunamamitha khona amanzi. Uma umasipala ethole ukuthi kunabantu abasebenzisa amanzi ngokungamthetho noma ugesi bewuntshontsha, bayacinyelwa ugesi, khishwa ifuse, kuthola phinda usebenze lokugesi bahlawulisa imali ethize noma kufana ukuyaboshwa ngaloo ndlela. Kanjalo namanzi bafika inqwaba esicomplaina nasithi kunabantu abangenawo ngisho la manzi ka-300 per day abasinjilelwe amamitha. Kungani lezi mayini lezila ey'hanjiwe zangakashona zatholakala ukuthi azinawo amanzi ngoba seziyazile? Kungani zingasishilelwa zingavalelwa amanzi ayekhona noma bakuboshwa? Kwaphela vele kakade kona vele bakudizeve ukuboshwa banayo imali. Ilo mbuzo phela.
Yeah, thank you. My question, Chairperson, relates to the issue on page 99, where it is indicated that some of the mines that were visited were not authorized, but these mines are using our water. Now, my question is why this water is not closed or the meters there are not removed? Because when you go to where people live, find that if they don't afford to pay for the water that they use or the electricity that they use, find that the meter is being removed or the fuse is taken off. So why is it not the same with the mines? Thank you.
Na khensa ntshamo wa xitulu. Na mina swivutiso swa mina a swi talangi. Is there something wrong? A ni ku swivutiso swa mina a swi talangi. I ku lava ku twisisa ku kuya hi department. Outcome 11 and 12, ni vona va nga vulavulangi hi yona hikokwalaho ka yini. Ni hundza ni ya ka page 25. On page 25, under the activity water supply and rural areas, there were 8 projects to be completed in 14-15. But checking into the numbers there under the provinces, it's only 3 provinces that is has been taken care of. I just want to check the criteria used in identifying those provinces, since we have 9 in our country. I think page 25, I will couple it with page 26. RBIG project for 15-16. The numbers there, I think it's 9. Yes, it's 9. And that 9 covers only 4 provinces. And to me, KZN and Northern Cape has been repeated. In 14-15, KZN and Northern Cape is there. Again, 15-16 is there. I'm not so sure whether those projects have been planned from 14 up to 16 or they are new projects. And if I know, why again on the provinces that that has been catered even previously? On page number 99, Yakaoj. I don't know whether I'll be saying the second bulletin or what, because it's not numbered. The one, the indicator is the percentage level of compliance. The annual target there is 30%, but the progress in rating is 5. I just wanted to check, because we are now in November, whether the 35 are going to cover it, since they were saying mitigation measures, the mitigation measures is out. The outstanding reports will be finalized by end of December 2014. We are now in November. So I wanted to check whether really the department is going to close that gap. On page 100, the action plan, development and implementation of sector adaptation strategies and plans. There's no baseline there, I understand that, but the target is 5 sectors by 2019. I wanted clarity here as to how are we going to achieve the 5 sectors. Is it going to be 1-1 in financial year, or as long as it has been indicated that by 2019 we'll be achieving that one, we don't care as to when, as long as we end up having that one. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to check how many households have access to sanitation and drinking water in percentage. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. Maybe just two, three quick ones on my side. The first one, what is the norm worldwide about leakages of water? Two, the NDP vision envisages by 2030 all South Africans having to have affordable access to sufficient water, sufficient safe water. So at the pace in which informal settlements are, to an extent, you are here, procrastinating the scenario wherein there is a collaboration between human settlement and GWS. To an extent that such a vision is to be spelled out, you are then to ask yourself the question whether there shall have been serious work, especially in dealing with the backlogs, in doing away with the informal settlements. If I can hear your comment, they talked about collaboration between the two. Then the last one on my side, where I am seated. Given all these challenges that we have, especially access to safe clean water, what stops the department from engaging in a popular program of one housing unit, one total tank? If there is any such. You can respond, and then I guess we are concluding.
Thank you, Chair. I will respond to some of the questions, and then my colleague Ms. Mutoki will respond to the ones pertinent to her. Honourable Kaula mentioned the issue of the mines continuing to use water. And the comparative example of when people in the communities are unable to pay for water service, pay for water, then there's disconnections, etc. Now, ma'am, the way in which we deal with mines is that those mines that are operating illegally, we issue them with notices and directives to stop this illegal water use. And when they don't stop this illegal water use, then we take that is the administrative action. And then we also look at how we can be able to open up criminal charges against these mines. But there has been instances where the mines have been directed to cease their operations, all of the operations, and they do cease it. So we have to continuously apply enforcement measures. And I think that you are correct. If we are applying, if it can be applied to community members, then it should also apply to mines in terms of where. But the mines basically have a situation where they will say, look, if we're going to stop operations, it's going to be job losses, etc. So we have to take all of that into consideration. But the approach towards mines that are not complying is a zero tolerance approach in terms of stopping them from operating or stopping them from using the water illegally. Honorable Bilankuru's question is linked slides 25 and 26. The projects and the criteria and the RBIG. In general, the department administers the regional bulk infrastructure grant to those provinces or those areas where there is the bulk infrastructure that requires to be commenced or started with. I think the preference would be for those provinces where the priority will be for those provinces where there is a lack of development. We've identified Limpopo as one of them, the Eastern Cape in relation to the Mzimbulu project. So the criteria, we will be able to provide that criteria to you in writing. But I just want to reply in general terms to say that there is a priority where there is a need. Where there is a need for a dam to be built in the Eastern Cape to support the communities there, and that is the priority, and that's how it is done. But there is a set criteria for how the regional bulk infrastructure grant is applied, and we will. I'm not the person responsible for the regional bulk project manager, but we will make note of that, and then we'll provide the response to the committee. Then, Honourable Mario Leke's question is an access, the percentage access, the 95% access to water is what we have said and what we have put out, and we've seen how the increase making more water accessible from 1994 in 20 years of democracy. It has been progressive increases over the years in access to water. And the sanitation statistics, we will have to come back to you on that, because the department has now taken over the sanitation function while from human settlements. Then the chair's question on the norms for leakages and water losses, I think my colleague Deborah might be able to help us there, but if we don't have that information, I'm not having that at my fingertips again, what is the international norm. Certainly, South Africa does well in terms of water conservation demand management. We have these awareness campaigns, the war on leaks, if you recall this year in Mandela Day, in Northwest, the Deputy President, together with the Minister, prioritized that and launched that program to make communities aware of how to deal with leaking taps, etc. So we need to intensify that War on Leaks program and roll it out nationally. And obviously we need to have the resources for that. Then, Chair, the questions that you've asked about water safety, water quality, I agree with you. It is something that we have to improve on, because the informal settlements are growing. Whenever mining operation commences, we have informal settlements that go around it. But the collaboration between the Department of Human Settlements and the former Department of Water Affairs was that collaboration was a troika. There was Human Settlements, COCTA, and Water Affairs, the three ministers had the political leadership of that, in terms of which they were prioritizing bucket eradication. Bucket eradication was the main focus of that. Now, currently, those bucket eradication program, together with the rural hygiene grant program, has come to our department, and we'll be able to report on that. The collaboration with the Troika worked well, except that the function was located within human settlements, and we then had to use our resources and assist human settlements together with our water boards and our water entities. Today, I will take the, your suggestion about popularizing a program of One Jojo Trunk forward as a positive suggestion, and we will be able to let our experts that deal with that that program to be able to see how we can throw it out and report back to the committee on that. Can I stop there and hand over to Member Chair?
So on the issue of the climate change, the key sectors, five key sectors, as we have indicated, we are still finalizing that that strategy. But that when you put a target here, normally we will break it into annual targets, and we also break it into quarterly targets, and the same will go for this one. And as you can see that we do with others, we already have indicated progress and rated the progress. Same will follow on this one. So there's no way this one can go the other way. On the world trends on international norms on water losses, there is a study, but I do not want to give a wrong figure and then come and withdraw. Rather, let me look at the study and come back with an answer.
The reason why I'm asking that question, we were at Madiben the other day. We got a figure of what, 75%?
74.7%
income. 75%. And then I was with people from Satuzi last week, and I got a figure of 5% losses on leakages, which came to me as a very, very big shock, which then raise a question as to what could then be the norm. At one point I was listening to somebody saying a figure of about 30% or so. That's an average, as it were. It could be anything less, it could be anything more. Okay, members, those are the last few hands, the very remaining two hands. Before we then dispense off with this issue and then look at two other issues that are quite urgent and important, that is now minutes and also a report of our Madibeng oversight visit. Mam Ilankulu and Mam Kawa.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's not a question per se, but it's a concern. All of the answers that we got, they are indicating that they will come back with the answers. They don't have the correct numbers or the correct project. I'm not so sure whether really they were prepared to come and brief us about the issues. Because the issue of monitoring is there. I don't think there is a way where one can come and say, I'm not sure of this, I will come back to you. Really, I do have a concern of all the answers that they have given to us. Thank you.
Mam Kola.
Ngibonga sihlalo, noma ungathi manje sizogcola iculo elilodwa sinomakhelwane wami. Ayi nami impela S. Angikho nje clear. Ngiyayizwa ngempela le mpendulo kodwa ayehli kahle ngoba uphakathi emphakathini nje ngibeke kahle emphakathini akuxoxisana nakancane ukuthi wena sikuthole unkonkothele amanzi or unkonkothele ugesi so manje besicabanga ukuthi sikuremovele imitha noma sikukhiphele i-fuels.
kuvele nje kusipho kusalwa uyibonela bangakushiyeli even la manzi lawa u 300 liter per day amahhala lawo government athi umuntu akawathola. Mina ngikhuluma ngento engiyaziyo kuyimanje abantu abangenawo amanzi. Umbuzo wami ukuthi why nifica zizitho kule ndawo yemayini kubantu abenza inzuzo abasebenzayo bese bezocasha ngesithupha bethi hayi manje yena uma ngathi bexoshwe laba bantu nisivalele amazwi kuzoma umsebenzi uxoshwe abantu bebe benza inzuzo bona. Secondly, la bantu uma uzothi uhambe uyobabheka uzothola bahola amakinati bachaphaza amanzi estate chaphaza abantu akusho ukuthi abahloniphi lutho bona nje lana. Mina ngesingami ngithi akenibuye senisitshela into e-right ukuthi niwuthathaphi umthetho noma bawuthathaphi labo bantu ukuthi basuke baxoxisane nabantu ukuthi manje wena sicaba ngokukubopha ngoba sikubambe wena wenza ubugebengu. Ngiyabonga.
Okay, those are the last two questions. Oh yeah, sorry.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I tend to share the same sentiments as my colleague who spoke previously. I had a response, but it doesn't go down well with me because when water is to be cut, there are no negotiations. You just take out the pipes without reaching a consensus with the user of the water. So my concern is around these mines that do business in these areas because it seems that they are getting away with everything. They abuse the water of the state, they abuse the land. It seems like they are getting away with it. Meanwhile, the people who work in these institutions are getting paid peanuts. Why aren't these people given harsher penalties? Because they are the ones who are using the water. They are the ones who are supposed to be paid.
Chairperson, thanks very much. Chairperson, I and honourable members, I do note and take serious cognizance of that concern raised by Honourable Bilankulu and Honourable Kaula. Myself and my colleague Memochotli are the program managers of the program. We are reporting. We are the responsible DDGs for reporting on these outcomes. In terms of, we've tried to answer most of the questions and give detailed answers on specific aspects, like what is the percentage. I think we err on the side of caution of not wanting to give an answer only to be contradicted by the actual information. I think we also have in the past brought support teams with us because as responsible DDGs we have various chief directors, etc. reporting to us who are the actual experts. And not that we don't know, but the actual technical information is sometimes not at our fingertips. And I think we would want to be cautious to give a wrong answer, rather to say that we will revert back to the committee. And when we do apologize for that. If it shows a lack of preparedness, I think that we will have to take that up with the DG in terms of how we restructure the delegations coming here. But we certainly try to own the problems and own the answers and give the responses as best as we can. But I will take that up with the DG as a concern. Then the issue of dealing with mines harshly and the fact that the mines pay their workers peanuts. I did say that we have a zero tolerance approach towards enforcement. In fact, this month of November is our enforcement month. You will see the minister and TV and various activities whereby we are targeting mines operating illegally, farmers operating without licenses and authority. I do think that the issue of the mines. The mines provide jobs, but at the same time, the mines cannot be devastating the environment and water resources without there being serious repercussions. So I reiterate the department's commitment towards dealing with the mines harshly. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, members. We then have to deal with
two other things quickly. One are your minutes, and two is your report on our oversight visit to Madibe. Let's thank Mr. Neil, Mr. Singh, for your time and the team. We are always learning and getting to learn from each other. One thing for sure, I'm sure by now you have learned, which you have assimilated in your system, and I'm sure in your DNA, it exists somewhere, that whenever you are going to be here and expecting having to make a submission or a report on any matter, you always are to expect members to veer off from the main content of what you shall have come here for. That must be in your DNA, precisely because members have got almost lots and lots of things they would really wish to cover, both in the course of our work and in the constituency, or also in the course of our work as we also participate in other committees. And generally speaking, as we go through the reading, thanks for that. You are allowed to sit and listen to our minutes and our report. In fact, it would be in your advantage, I must say, because some of the issues raised are of concern, and they directly relate to the work that you do on a daily basis. Members, they are doing a we have a set of 4 minutes. They're not long. The first set of minutes is dated 14th of October. It's a 3-page minute. Do you have any copies? We are a quorum, and also only those that were in the meeting can okay and also can second. It is stated there on page one as to who was there, and the introduction as well. I would imagine it's a straightforward one. Page 2. Minutes of the 15th straightforward one. Page one there has all of those that were present and apologize. Page two.
There were issues raised here. I just want to check those issues are means because there are, some are appearing in the report. They should not appear in the minutes because one of the things that Mr. Honorable Makondo was raising on the issue that we requested the department to bring the issue of foreigner employment. I don't know, it's part of the report, it won't be in the minutes. And the other issue that was raised is the issue of that you raised also, Chair, the issue of minister to come to the portfolio committee, which I would like to take it on the matters arranging, but we do need it finish in class.
You mean now? Okay, the matter arises. Any further issues on this minute? Maybe the issue that you are dealing with here is the style of minute writing. Wherein I see some part of the previous minute. A report is there, or a presentation is available on request. I would imagine the number of those departments, the department and the entities, the reports are there on request. However, the issues of contention having been raised, whether they should appear or not, as part of your deliberation of your meeting, is an issue that I would imagine is arising indirectly from what the members are saying. There's a proposal as a result of that which I table for secondment and for us to deal with once and for all. We will be saying finish in class.
Chair, well, what I suggest, Chair, if you look at the 14th October meeting and the 15th October meeting, there is a difference. And we are not saying the minute should capture the report of the meeting, but it is wiser if in the minute you are able to get highlights of the issues that were discussed so that when minutes are presented, you are able to pick matters arising from the issues that were discussed. Then we can still request a detailed report of the meeting later, but at least when you look at the minutes, you must be able to get an understanding of the issues that were being discussed. Thanks. The issue of finish and clarity.
I guess also this matter talks to the reason for any minute. So so that in 5 years' time, anybody who lays his or her hands on this menace, he is able, without having to make any reference anywhere else, to make sense, to follow the sequence of events, without having to dig into finding all these other reports. I can assure that whilst the reports may be available, annual report of the department, TCTA, and water research, but I wouldn't be sure about issues raised by members, whether we shall be able to dig those. I wouldn't be sure. Because they shall be lying somewhere in Madia's computer. And Madia by that time shall be in Australia. Or in Bujumbura. Madia?
Thanks, members. The main reason why I put that in the, and I understand the issues, the concern raised by members and what we can do, because what we did with the BRRR report that was adopted by the committee is that we also included a section that indicated the issues raised by members in the discussion and in the interaction with the department. So that's why it wasn't included in this set of minutes. But just to satisfy the concern of members, what I can do is that I can take that section and put that in the minutes so that members can see, they can actually see directly in the minutes the issues and the concerns that were raised. And I do understand that members also need to see that so that they can follow up with the department just in terms of questions that were not responded to. So I can include that. I can include that in this minute for members.
Okay, can I propose, members, that say for the finish and plug issue, can I propose that we postpone the minute of the 15th until we get it back? Are we fine with that?
Yes.
So can we take just a quick one on the finish and plug? Any second? What Member Maluleke is proposing is that we discuss the matter related to how the process should be here. Mamu Birankulu? I saw a hand from Mrs. Birankulu. The two of you. It has been noted. And they shall tell us some other time. Oh.
They want to borrow money from us
so you have a who is the loan shark?
Hello, we can create one now.
Oh, the two are the loan shark.
Yes, that's what okay. We can create
one. This is Maluleke.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I said we must discuss this matter and close it because every meeting there's a concern raised that the minister must attend the committee. So I suggest, Chair, that because the Wednesday is the cabinet day, it's either we request the minister maybe once a month to be in the committee, or if we have burning issues, we request a day, maybe Thursday or Friday, to have our committee so that the minister must be part of our committee. Because what I've realized, Chair, it's not that she's not willing or wish to come to the committee. It's just she's held up with the cabinet. And also there was a concern that we always give apologies, and then it was raised by Honorable Kaula that you will say you'll give apology but we'll see the minister in TV, and which is what it will happen at any time, because wherever they go there's a media. So what we want to close the matter is that we agree that it's either the minister comes once a month, or if there's a need, we change our day and go to Thursday or Friday. Thank you, Chair.
Any ideas? Any further ideas? Mama, you ready? I'll say your hand up. Mama Kaula? Are you raising an issue, Mr. Bata? Oh, okay. Mama?
Yeah, I'm not in the bank. Bengingabonga nami uma ngase ngempela nishintshe usuku ngoba lento ayikho ayinhle ngempela masesebe ukudlala ngoba kusuke kuthiwe uyagula mavula iTV siyambona uyasebenza. So okubuhlungu mina uma ngicabanga njengoba kuye kuthiwa khona usihlalo khona usekele sekwenzelwa lezo zinto ukuthi if angekho omunye abe khona bengingacela as umhlonishi umaluli yakesho kungcono sibone ukuthi kwenzakala njani ngoba uyadingeka phela ukuze kubonakale lento esisebenzayo akusilokhu nje sizohlala kuloku umlando ukukhuluma izinto ezingenzeki. Ngiyabonga.
Thank you very much, Chair. Also, I appreciate the suggestion that we change the date for the day that the minister comes here because in some instances there's an apology because she's not ready, but we see her on TV working, so that is very strange. So I'd also like to support the suggestion by Honorable Maluleka that we change the dates because there are many issues whereby she's needed to be here to answer to.
Yes, sir.
I don't agree with changing the date. It will affect members sitting on other committees. I would agree to say that we expect from the minister to attend once a month. If that means that it's not possible, then we can have a special meeting once a month, say on a Friday. But it's unfortunate that since we've started, the minister has not attended this meeting. And the deputy minister attended it once. So I don't know what the excuse is of the deputy minister. But when the minister has got to come here, and that's what I would suggest, that if we agree that the minister comes in the first Wednesday of the month, then the deputy minister can stand in for the minister in the cabinet. Otherwise, it's going to be inconvenient for all of us to accommodate one person that needs to be answering to this committee. And we are unfortunate that we have not even had the opportunity to ask the minister in parliament, because when the minister had to answer in parliament, she was overseas. So today we've got the opportunity if the minister is going to attend the parliament. So my plea is that the chair discuss this with the minister, and the minister must make a plan to attend at least once a month. And I don't know what the excuse is of the deputy minister. The deputy ministers don't attend the cabinets, and I don't know why the deputy minister is not here and why doesn't she attend these meetings. As I indicated, she was only here once. And I would appreciate if you could take this up and with the minister as well as the deputy minister. But for us to change this date to another venue, to another date, is not going to work. It's going to throw everything out. They must make a plan to assist us. This date has been allocated for this committee, and they must make sure that they attend it.
Chairperson, it seems we are in agreement. There are no contradictions. If we can just keep that way, if we see that there's a problem on the minister can't come, we can change, but it can be once a month. If maybe he's held up somewhere, the deputy may come. And if there's a challenge, we can call the person on Friday. We're not changing anything. It's just it can be a special day. We are going to do that.
I was saying there are times when your county officer and executive authority have to come before the committee. At those times, you can talk about them. It is time when the minutes, when we expect us to have your annual report, your stress plan or APPs, and your quarterly reviews, give or take, your midterm review areas. That shall be around October, November, thereabout. Now, the one challenge that we have, we're being frank with each other and being very objective. You have here a cabinet that sits on a Wednesday. It is either a cabinet meeting, a full cabinet meeting, or it is either a cabinet committee meeting. Now, with all those competing demands, we are expected to deal with that situation, so that we sober up at least to getting to say, this is the situation that we find ourselves. Now, as a result of all of that, we've got to make up our minds on that informed basis. Assuming that Mr. Person one day maybe in 50 years time that he shall be a minister. Sorry? Or in 100 years maybe. 1 day. To an extent, we shall be expected to come to that same discussion. It's not personal. It's totally based on the operations of both this arm of the state and the arm of the state that is executive. And these two must work together, and the one must be accountable to this one. There is no doubt about that. So that's what we need. We are dealing with the logistics of such, as to where do this meet. There shouldn't be an excuse. It should only be the fact that you have a practical situation that is prevalent. And how do we deal with such? That's what I thought I needed to bring across for us as we move forward to this discussion. Understandably so, that a few views have been raised, almost concluding, which I thought I should also add my points in the equation. Okay. Maybe as we are fired, let me take all of these views into account as I take a session with the minister and then come back to the committee. How does that sound? Okay, thanks. The third minute is the minute of the 29th of October. It has four pages. The first page has got everybody who was there. The agenda item was to deal with all of those entities. This is the first meeting that the TV attended. That date shall be marked on our agenda, on our diaries.
second page.
Outside the meeting.
Oh, okay.
also that I thought you were saying you are seconding the pay for the grapes. Members, the last is about the Madiben visit. Have we gone through the report, or have we just received it? Can we then look at page 1? It was on the 23rd of September. What is meant by that statement? Only 39% of distributed water. In other words, it's 39% of water that they buy is metered.
Not what they buy, but they sell.
that comes out of the purification plant. Clean water out of the plant is only 39% of the water is built. The 25,000 households have got no meters in that area.
Let's talk numbers here. Out of 25,000 households, can somebody else explain? I'm not, English is my seventh language.
Within the Mariving area, the report stipulates that there is 25...
Speak to that man.
In the report it stipulated that in the Mariving area, there is 25,000 households that's not being metered at all. There's no water meters at those households. They have water, but it's not metered. That's one issue. The other issue is that of the 60 megaliter plant that they manufacture 60 megaliters of water per day, only 39% of those water are invoiced. 39%, yeah. And the total income of water, they only get 24.7% of the water that they manufacture, they get money for.
In other words, 24% is revenue.
Is revenue. Of the total
then
capacity.
39% is metered.
39% is metered, yeah.
Does it make sense now? Does it make sense to the members? There is 477,000 people who live there. Out of that 477, 25,000 is metered. Yeah?
No, it's not metered.
It's not metered.
Yeah.
Out of that 25,000 that is not metered, of the water that the municipality buys, 39% is metered. 39. But the municipality only collects revenue of 24%. Hence then, there is 75% leakage.
Or non-payment.
It's non-renewable water, that's 75%. It's water that goes away, wherever it goes. That's 75%. That 75% is unaccounted for. What is accounted for is 24-something%. Let's say 25%. That is accounted for. Does it make sense now? Mr. Mguna? Does it make sense? In other words, simplified, they cannot account for 75%. It's unaccounted for water. It's water that goes down the drain. They can only account for 25% of water that they make money from.
That's it. 39% is accounted for.
It's metered.
It's metered. It's accounted. If you minus that one, you'll be almost 70, is 60, yeah, something, 61%. 61% is not accounted for. But from the 39% that is accounted for, that is invoiced, only 24, we are rounding off to 25, is revenue, is paying, Then, from if you minus 24 from the 39, you will see there are those who are invoiced, but do not pay. But that water is known where it comes.
Yeah, it does make sense now.
You're correct. Eh?
But I want us to change a statement that says metered, honorable person, to say period.
Yeah.
It makes sense because it confuses me when you say metered.
It makes sense. We are now clear. Namukala, Shalandela.
Chairperson, can I just read you one thing since I started from, there's 160, there is 160,724 households in Maribeng where 470,000 people
are 160?
160,724 households. And then they say in from the 49,500 registered stands in proclamated towns, there is 25,000 of these Arvins.
Where are you reading?
I'm reading from a document.
Where?
That I have.
Where?
On my computer.
Yeah, but
there are 25,000 of these houses unmetered.
To be fair to yourself, we are only confining ourselves to this. Additional information is good, it's fine. There is no crime to that. How one would have wished that information would have been there so that when we were dealing with these issues then, it is captured here. At best, what we might wish to do is to circulate that information to the committee secretary, then take it from there. This is information that is empowering us. I suppose that is what you want to do.
Well, I asked the minister to release the report, and the minister is refusing to release the report. So,
you know, you're getting us more and more lost.
Yeah, so, you know,
I want us to simplify issues. You have more information, which we would love to have. I am saying, whoever has what information, it is passed through the Commerce Secretary, we take it from there. Thank you, sir. That shall have been a page that starts on top with unaccounted for water, because I do not see the number. I've lost track whether it is page 4 or what. That page. Are we having any further issues still to raise on that page? I've just numbered my pages. That was page 4. We are now on page 5. Must also bear in mind as we read any of these reports going forward, a very important section has to be recommendations, as is always the case. Page 5, we are on that point. Those are all the concerns raised. Vandalism, maintenance, unaccounted for water, intervention in water service supply, delivery, water quality,
strengthening intergovernmental relations, importance of community participation, poor revenue collection, poor leadership, and lack of capacity within the municipality. Page 6. If we were to look at page 6 on maintenance of infrastructure, there is a old lettered and underlined 3-month deadline there. Effectively, that deadline instructs us to go back to Madiveng towards end of November. Those are the two issues that are raised. One is maintenance budget, and also the issue raised by Mama Kaula. Mama, the point you are raising, ilohu ku underline well up here on page 6. Okay, members, I think it's a straightforward issue of our role as a committee that also does, among others, oversight on the work of the executive. That executive shall be found in local areas because of the nature of our work. Our work transcends local, provincial, and national. Okay, if there is no other issue, with all of those issues raised and included there, that amendment on page 4, save for the additional information by Mr. Mpasson, we shall have to be taken through the committee secretariat for us to have access to. With those amendments, I present the report for adoption. We certainly do have a quorum. Mama Balintela? Mama, move for adoption. I saw Mr. Ngoni before you, Mr. Person. Okay, members, maybe the last point as we move forward. There are two issues before we go away. In other words, before we rise for end of the year. One is next week's program. Next week's program is a program that is expecting a report by the department on the community that we met. What is that area? The dam is called Nandoni. If you remember, when we were in Johannesburg, we met with that community, and then we gave a deadline. So that time is that time for us to receive a report from the department. That's number one. Number two, week after, shall be for us to go through that, what do they call it, public hearing on vandalism and theft of infrastructure as it relates to water. Immediately thereafter, we shall be expected to do an oversight visit. We had postponed a visit on acid mine drainage. That has since been reinstated. Added to that, shall then have to be the Madibeng report. As mentioned, that we are expected to go back there, and that is that time. Because we cannot go back there in December. We're finishing off end of week after next, as Parliament shall be expected to rise, unless otherwise informed. I'm not sure if there is any other issue. We were meant to take a short plan exercise, if you remember very well. But we are informed subsequently that the Parliament itself has not as yet taken its own exercise. So for that reason, only that reason, that we have since done away with that item on our agenda. I'm sure we all did receive information about our forever forward planning Parliament, that the State of the Nation is on the 12th of February. I take it that as time is almost 1 o'clock, that if there is nothing else, this meeting is adjourned. Mr. Makonda, can you sit down, Mr. Person?
You have your own issue, a question. And the meeting was very vibrant, I can say.
Look, Chair.
As a result, as I was getting inside, I had a bit of a shock. Am I in the right committee meeting area?
Look, on Monday and Tuesday, we've got public hearings.
Is it Monday and Tuesday or Tuesday and Wednesday?
It's Tuesday and Wednesday. Then Wednesday, we're going to Johannesburg.
Yeah.
When are we meeting with that community? And if I heard you correctly,
well, next week.
Yes.
And the time you're referring to is week after.
Oh, you were talking about this next week.
Next week is with the Nandoni Dam. What is that? It's Nguzi Development Association.
We'll meet them in Johannesburg. Oh, here. Yeah. The acid mine drainage oversight, when is that?
Week after.
Okay.
Chairperson, I will explain everything. I know you.
Meeting, but...